Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share a few thoughts about what it means to serve in a healing profession. For those of you who may not know me, my husband Andrew and I have been blessed to practice chiropractic together for the past 26 years. Over the years, God has been teaching me that serving in a healing profession is really about surrender. Every day, I have the privilege of using my hands to care for others. That is a sacred trust. And I've learned that the most important thing is keeping those hands open. Open to serve, open to trust, and open to surrender every outcome to Him. God is the healer. My calling is simply to serve Him with open hands. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Those words have become more meaningful to me with each passing year. As Christian author John Ortberg puts it, "I can't, He can, I think I'll let Him." In many ways, that's become the quiet prayer of my heart. Looking back now, I can clearly see that this profession wasn't simply my plan. It was God's calling. Proverbs 16:9 says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." I can see His hand guiding every one of those steps, and I am deeply grateful. It's an incredible privilege to belong to Christ, and one of the ways He has allowed me to serve Him is through chiropractic. Years ago, I thanked our patients, a married couple, for their work as Christian missionaries. They smiled and said, "Andrea, you and Andrew are missionaries too." I had never thought of it that way, but those words have changed the way I view what I get to do. That moment reminded me that every vocation can become ministry when it's offered back to God. Before we see our first patient each morning, our team prays together. But the prayer doesn't end there. Throughout the day, as I care for each person, I'm often praying silently. "Lord, let these hands be your hands today. May your Holy Spirit work through me." Learning to surrender the outcome hasn't just changed how I care for my patients. Sorry, this is very emotional for me. It's changed how I live. I'm learning to surrender my family, my circumstances, my expectations, my very life to God's loving hands. I've also learned that healing doesn't always look the way we hope it will. We live in a broken world, and even people who love Jesus deeply experience illness, grief, and loss. Over the years in practice, I've seen things I can't explain except by God's grace. I've also cared for wonderful people whose healing didn't come the way we all hoped it would. I don't pretend to understand every why, but I know this: God is always faithful. I know, they just keep coming. I'm not sure. I think when I ask the Holy Spirit to be with me, I think he's actually with me. So I can't explain every why. I do know this, though. God is always faithful, even when his purposes are beyond our understanding. My peace, though, doesn't come from having all the answers. It comes from knowing the one who does. Today, whether you've come carrying gratitude, pain, questions, hope, or a longing for healing, I pray you'll come just as you are, with open hands. We worship a God who hears us, loves us, walks with us, and is still at work. We may not always understand how he answers, but we can always trust his heart. And that's exactly why today's prayer and praise service is so meaningful. We come together with open hands to praise him, to pray for one another, and to trust him with every burden we carry. Our church family has witnessed God's faithfulness through Elder Michelle's journey. As we continue this morning with open hands, I'd like to invite Michelle to share how God's presence sustained her through cancer before leading us into this morning's time of prayer and anointing. Thank you.
We will see if I get through this without crying, because she's already made me cry already this morning. So some of you have heard this story, because I have been here for 20-some years. But for those of you that haven't, in 2005, I heard the first time that I had breast cancer. And mind you, I was 26. So it was really hard to comprehend what was going on. And though I was raised in the church, I was raised Pentecostal. When you go through college and you go through your early 20s, you kind of are on your own path, if you will. So I wasn't talking to God every day. But what I can say is that during that time, that cancer was very aggressive. And I didn't even have time to think before round one of 16 treatments happened. So there's a couple of things in that journey that I would like to share before I move to the next journey. And that is, when I was diagnosed, I immediately went into test, and I immediately went into the hospital to get a portacath so that I could get administered those 16 rounds of chemo. Well, they collapsed my lung. So I was in the hospital for 2 days going through that just to start chemo the next Thursday. That's how quick the timeline is for some of these patients going through breast cancer. There's just no time. So fast forward, I was on treatment number 4. And oftentimes, I would lay in bed and just cry. Just cry, because I just didn't know what else to do. I was hurt. I was hurting. I was exhausted. My hair fell out. And I'm just this 26-year-old trying to figure it out. So one day I cried, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to start praying. And this is where I cry. And I said, I haven't talked to you in a long, long time. But I can't do this without you. I need you. I give you this cancer. Please help me. And all of a sudden, I just felt this peace and this warm sensation run through my body. And I've never experienced that since. I can't even explain to you the warmth and the peace that I felt at that time. Fast forward to probably 4 weeks after that, I go to one of my checkups. And my oncologist looked at me and he said, "I don't even feel it anymore." And I said, "What?" He said, "I don't feel your tumor anymore." So I finish my treatment and I start prepping for my lumpectomy. And I had to go to another mammogram and MRIs because they could not find my tumor anymore. It was completely gone. So through that healing, I went 20 years a survivor of that particular breast cancer. And unfortunately, this past year, as many of you know, I was diagnosed with number 2 version of breast cancer, which was, by the grace of God, a non-aggressive breast cancer. But I have to tell you, I was mad. I was really, really mad. I was talking to God, and, you know, Dan would even say okay for me to say this, but, you know, Dan and I are very close, so I had many conversations with him, and I said, "Dan, I just don't feel heard. Like, what is happening? He healed me the first time, and here I am going through it again. I don't get it." And it took a couple of times for me to really get up here and praise and see all your faces and really think, you know what? This isn't necessarily about me. It's about finding God and finding the way of peace and healing and trusting what He has for me. And as I did that and I started to release, I started to feel so much better about what things were going on and how things were happening. And by the grace of God, I am in remission today. And the gratitude that I have for Him, not only getting me through the first journey, but getting me through the second journey. There's a song called "One More Day," and it talks about, thank you, God, for giving me one more day. Thank you for sustaining me so that I can praise you, so that I can testify about your grace. And that's truly what I'm here to do. And I just spoke for Carroll County Hospital at, it's called Pink Fling. And I talked about His grace and what He did for me. And I will continue to speak about Him and what He did for me through these journeys. So thank you.